This is Lee Chambers on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Cut a long story short by Spandau Ballet, because we are talking short stories now with my guest this morning, Richard Spohr. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Lee.
Nice to see you
and
again.
You,
Richard,
you.
You're from Institute Theatre, and between the 17th and the 19th of November at the Leper Chapel, you are performing three short stories.
Yes, that's right. Yes,
so
I
tell
am.
Me a little bit about each of these short stories. We've got The Demon Lover, Gabriel Ernst, and The Tale of Jemima Puddleduck.
Yes, that's correct.
Let's talk about The Demon Lover
first. Yeah, that's the title of the whole thing. That story is a wonderful story by Elizabeth Bowen, the Irish writer. I've done one of her stories before. The medieval legend and folk song of The Demon Lover is that a woman has a lover. He's often a soldier. He goes off to war. She marries someone else because he doesn't come back. They, however, before that, they swore eternal love. The demon lover, possibly now dead, eventually comes back when she's already safely married with children and stuff like that, and takes her off to hell.
Wow.
It's a ghost story. So this is a ghost story, yeah. And Elizabeth Bowen has taken this bit of ancient myth and she's reset it. It's set in bombed out London in 1943, and this is where a woman returns to her house, which is still standing, but it's in a sort of ruined area of London, and obviously she and her family have evacuated that place, and she finds this letter lying in this deserted house that is from her fiancé of hers who got killed 25 years before in the First World War.
Oh.
So it's very, it's hard for us to think now of how violent times people lived through in the first half of the 20th century. And that's very associated with obviously violence and death and bereavement and so on, so very associated with the appearance
and
of
Elizabeth
ghosts.
Bowen, she is mistress of the short story.
Absolutely, yeah. She wrote wonderful ghost stories and many other types of stories as well, and novels. Yeah, one of my favourite writers.
So that's The Demon Lover. We've got that.
Right.
So, and now, Gabriel Ernst, this sounds something a little bit different.
Yes, this is by a wonderful writer called Saki. That was his pen name, Saki. His real name's H.H. Munro. And he's a little bit earlier, and there's a connection, very tragic connection with the First World War with him, because he got killed during it. He got killed on the Somme in 1916. And this story is written early 1901 or something like that. And it's about his world is that of the twittering upper classes. It's Sloanes and Hooray Henrys and cocktail parties. He's the world of Noel Coward and P.G. Woodhouse. But unlike them, he has a wonderful knack of bringing into this posh world, he brings in either extreme violence or an eruption of the supernatural. Which is particularly, it's particularly powerful. It's a particularly powerful combination because you don't expect werewolves or vampires or ghosts to erupt into what appears to be such a safe world, but they do. And this particular story is a werewolf, an extremely homoerotic werewolf story. Saki was a gay man at a time when this was illegal and extremely, he'd have been ostracized totally if he'd been open about that. And also he couldn't write about it openly either, but he writes about it in this cryptic.
So it's like a metaphor.
Yeah, exactly, which is actually an artistic advantage, in fact.
A homoerotic werewolf story. Yeah. You don't get many of them.
No, no, exactly. Exactly. No, not many of them around nowadays, no.
Well, so those two, I can see there's sort of, you know, werewolves and ghosts of people coming back from the dead. Yeah, that's all very spooky. So those two, I can see how they fit together. Let's do the third story now. The Tale of Jemima Puddle Duck.
Yes.
Now, explain.
Yes.
We all know this story. It's Beatrix Potter.
That's right.
Or we think
that's
we
right.
do.
I was brought up on Beatrix, you know, when I was very little. And I think quite a few young children still read it. Yeah.
Yep.
I love them. I found, and I think a lot of children do, a very menacing element in this story.
Really?
Yes. Jemima Puddle Duck goes off. Is a vulnerable adult who she wants to hatch her own eggs. She runs away in order to do that because they keep taking her eggs away from her at the farm. Yeah, and she goes to a wood where she finds where she meets a fox, who is obviously the demon lover in question. And this fox seduces her, gives her a place to lay her eggs, which is in a sort of serial killer's sort of hut. It's very dismal. And obviously he plans to kill her and eat her, and her eggs as well. And he sends her to get sage and onions.
Oh,
from,
it's all coming back to me.
Farm.
Yes, it is a bit... sick almost.
And I mean, of course, in Beatrix Potter, there's the element of these wonderful watercolours that she illustrates her stuff with, and they're very sinister as well. There's a bit where the fox is peeping through a crack in the shed to watch what Jemima Puddle Duck's doing when she's laying her eggs, which is. It's just like images in Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho.
Yes, voyeurism,
like
Do you think that was... I mean, it doesn't really matter whether she intended it to be creepy, but do you think she did?
Yes, I think so. I think she realised, as many children's writers do... I mean, some of them are much more extreme, like Roald Dahl and people like that. They realise that children are interested in horror and are always addressing the boundaries of fear and stuff like that. And she was picking up the same mythology of the demon lover that is the theme of the piece. I mean, she would have understood that seductive gentlemen, rapists and seducers and so on, come and they lead women into no good and take them from the path of virtue and stuff. And the fox is dressed up like a 19th century
cad.
Yeah.
So when you read this, you are reading Beatrix Potter's words.
I'm not reading it.
That's a lot of words to learn.
Yeah.
So you're recite performing Beatrix.
Definitely.
Yes.
It's not a rewrite.
A menacing undertone.
I hope so. That's the idea.
I know that sounds. That's brilliant. So unusual.
Yeah. I wanted to put something in that was, that people might not immediately think came from the world of horror and the supernatural.
And you mentioned that you're performing these. That's a lot of words to remember.
Yes, it is. Yes, it's an hour and a half of words, and it's just me. The three stories accompanied by, interspersed with song.
Yes, you've got some music. You've got Noel Coward and Screaming Jay Hawkins.
That's right. And traditional demon lover ballad and other stuff. Yep. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. And learning words is not always the plank on which a performance is based. It might be movement or it might be sound or whatever. But in this case, it is. And so learning them, it's a very long process that I obviously allow plenty of time for. This sort of takes months. As I learn it, I try and work out what the voices I'm channeling are and what the rhythm of it is.
I'm finding more
center.
In it,
probably
quite a joy.
Yeah,
and this is all in the Leper Chapel, which is that's a great atmosphere.
It's a wonderful atmosphere. Yeah, yeah. Wrap up warm. It's not wonderfully well heated.
And there's something. almost primeval about being told stories, isn't there? I think
definitely.
It goes very back to our very basic sitting around a campfire.
Yeah, exactly. And I think people feel that. I sort of instinctively put people in a semicircle. I mean, there isn't a campfire, but there's a sort of semicircle, and there's just... I like the fact that... I mean, obviously, in situ, you explore all sorts of different types of performance and theatre techniques and so on. But I very much enjoy, whether as a performer or a spectator, that, you know, if I'm performing, it really is just me and them. It's not cut with scenery, props, other actors, and stuff like that. So it's a very direct art form.
And what kind of ages is this appropriate for?
Definitely grown-ups, yes. I wouldn't want people to be duped by Jemima Puddle Duck thinking it's suitable for five-year-olds, because it most certainly isn't.
So would you say sort of 14 upwards?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't think there's no graphic violence or anything in it. There's just me sitting on a chair. But, you know, it's uncanny and it's complex and what did I put deliciously?
Well, yes, I love your flyer here. Yeah. You've got The Demon Lover is a complex, provocative and fascinatingly disturbing evening's view. And there's something for everyone there, isn't
it? I hope so.
Tick all
yes, that's
the
what
boxes.
We strive to do, yep. Yeah.
So this is on at the Leper Chapel, the 17th to the 19th of this month.
That's right,
November.
Yes.
Tickets
yes.
are £10 to £12 and you can get them via your website, which is insitutheatre.co.uk, or buy them on the door.
Yeah, we're open. The show starts today. We're open from 7:30, so get along.
And you say
earlier.
Wrap up warm,
yeah, because it's dress for outdoors, I would suggest, yeah.
And you're also at the Leper Chapel with Tales of Mystery and Imagination on December the 2nd and Ghost Stories on December the 16th.
Yes, that's right. They're two shows that I created two or three years ago, and very glad to have the opportunity to do them again.
Well, yep. Good luck, Richard. Nice to hear about it.
Yeah, thank you,
particularly the tale of Jemima Puddle.
Yeah,
I shall read it in a different, completely different way now. So, good luck.
Thank you very much, Lee.